Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
AI mania, is it still hot or is it over?
Well, I just banked some nice fat gains. I think it has a way to go, but a pullback here wouldn't surprise me, simply because things have been so hot for so long. So we banked two rounds of gains. 123%, also 33% on Fortinet, which most people think of as a cybersecurity stock, and they're right, but it has an AI component. And anything that has a real AI leverage has been hot, and most other things have been not. So it's only natural to see AI cool for a bit. You know, it has to really digest the gains it has and like stuff like that. But no, I think we're at the beginning of a new tech bull market. It's AI focused for now, but it doesn't have to be. And so we are going to see things transform in how we use tech and how that affects our lives. We've seen these kind of bull markets before. It's just this is another one. And if I'm right, you know, then there's all kinds of stocks that will run higher. And that will help. What's been a problem for this market for a while is it's been a very narrow rally. There's about eight stocks that have made all the gains in the S&P 500 so far this year. So if the rally broadens out, that's just going to be good for everybody. But nothing goes in a straight line. We have zigzags. And so, you know, as you and I are talking, the market just got through a day where many leading tech stocks got hammered hard. That's just how markets work. Nothing goes up, you know, one way. You always have pullbacks.
Yes, that's the sign of a Ponzi scheme if it only just goes up.
Yeah, right.
Do you think we might be in danger of being in territory with AI like we were with .com back in late 90s, 2000?
Well, you know, I've seen some people compared to that, and maybe it's possible, but they'll also remember that the big tech bubble was a great bubble. It was a lot of fun to ride on the way up, and if we are in an AI bubble, it's just begun. So, I mean, there could be some comparisons. We'll only know when we're looking at it in the rearview mirror. It's not going to stop me from investing in this because, you know, why sit on the sidelines when everybody is out having a nice time? I think there's a lot more to be made in this market. All bubbles burst eventually. That much we know. But I don't think we're anywhere close to the top on this one.
What's going on with gold?
Well, up until today, which is Thursday, gold was having a nice time of it. But what happened, well, first of all, the U.S. dollar weakened. And we've been watching the U.S. dollar like a hawk. It actually broke down through important support. And that was because the market came to the conclusion that while the Fed was going to hike at its July 24th and 25th meeting, that was going to be the end of the hikes. Now, I thought that was kind of optimistic, but I'm not going to ignore it. We added another silver pick in Resource Investor on the strength of that. However, here we are a few days later. What happened? Jobless claims dropped to a two-month low, actually the lowest in 9 weeks. That convinced people on Wall Street, rightly or wrongly, that the Fed might not be done at the July 24th and 25th meeting, that it might hike beyond that. And so that's why we saw a big sell-off today, not only in tech, but in gold. So gold miners got hammered pretty hard today. However, I think things look very good. I think that the Fed is near the end of its rate hiking cycle. We'll have to see what they say at the next meeting. But I think that we'll probably see an end rate hikes. If not at this next meeting, then probably the meeting after that. And I don't know if we're actually going to get to rate cuts. We could go bounce along a plateau for a while. But we just needed interest rates to stop going up to chip some support out from under the U.S. dollar. And as the and even though the U.S. dollar rallied hard on that jobless claims news, it looks like the U.S. dollar is going to go lower, and that should power up precious metals.
Do you think they're going to keep interest rates, if they pause, they're going to keep them at this level for a long time? Because it seems to me for the longest time, interest rates were around the 7% mark. That was considered sort of natural, if that's the right word to use.
Right. Well, I think they keep them high just because they think monetary conditions are too loose because too many people have jobs. Fed hates it when too many people have jobs. So I think they'll keep things tight anyway, yes. And, you know, we could bounce along here. It would be a big adjustment in the whole economy. For one thing, at least here in the States, many people would become trapped in their homes because they wouldn't be able to afford newer ones at higher interest rates. So there would be an adjustment to slowly get out of that stuff. But yeah, I could see us bouncing along with the Fed neither raising rates nor cutting rates, just holding them steady for a while at a higher rate than people have been used to for years. But if you look back historically, it's not that high at all.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, anything happening in the crude oil market?
Well, you know, I mean, I tend to be more bullish than many people on Wall Street about crude. I think we've seen some nice fundamental news lately, and I don't think we're seeing the economic slowdown that many people thought we were going to have. That those two things together, you know, with we've had a production cut by OPEC Plus that seems to be sticking, with the exception of Russia because they cheat all the time. We've had strong demand, especially in the U.S. And so, looking at things, you know, I think oil could trade in a range between about 72 and maybe 85. And that's a very comfortable range for a lot of stocks that, well, we own at least some of those stocks. But, I mean, plenty of stocks we don't own, too. They could make a nice profit margin. Now, what's hurting oil stocks now is the comparison to the last year, you know, because prices were so high. But back then, the new profit margins don't look so good. But in the meantime, I mean, as long as you're not making that year-over-year comparison, these things are cash flow machines. I mean, the good ones are. And so those are the oil stocks that I hold. Those are the oil stocks we will be buying going forward. I am rather bullish on oil, even though, you know, I like EVs, even though I like green energy and all that stuff, especially with the government throwing money at it. I mean, I still like oil, and I still think it's a great place to invest.
Is oil a long-term hold, especially if it pays dividends?
Yes. Of course, everyone has to define what their own long-term is, but I can definitely see holding some stocks as they get to the bottom of their range and pick them up, and if they pay nice dividends and they keep raising those dividends. We look for stocks that raise dividends in my Wealth Megatrends monthly newsletter. You know, that's the kind of thing we like. So we have some oil stocks in there. And, you know, there are oil stocks which are doing just fine in this environment. They really are. And if they keep paying dividends, hiking their dividends, the market's going to keep coming back to them over and over again. So, yeah, those are the kind of stocks I like.
Record heat wave in the U.S. You can cook an egg on the roof of your car. Is that doing anything to natural gas or other utility prices?
You can not only cook an egg on the roof of your car, you can cook a bird on a telephone pole. Their animal's dropping dead because they can't handle the heat. You know, we saw an inventory build in natural gas, and yet the price of natural gas went up a few cents. It's really hard for me to actually figure natural gas. The price has been slowly improving. I mean, it's not good, but it's slowly improving, getting to the top of that recent range that it's been in since, say, February. So, but I'm not a real buyer of natural gas because I expect there'll be more demand now, but we seem to be going into warmer periods, which means we won't have this cool weather in the wintertime as we often do. And so that's when people expect natural gas to get used a lot. So I'm not a natural gas bull the way that I am an oil bull. That's kind of a convoluted answer, and I'm sorry about that. But yeah, the weather is changing, and that is affecting how we use stuff. I like natural gas as a fuel. I don't really like it as an investment right now.
Anything going on with uranium?
Don't I wish. let me call up my Cameco, which we own. Actually, that looks good. Looks near a 52-week high. I will stop complaining. It did pull back today, but everything pulled back today. That's fine. And let me look at the uranium, Sprott Uranium Miners ETF. Honest to God, that's strong. You know, it's heading up toward toward an area that's been resistance for quite some time. We'll have to see what's happening there. Now it did sell off with everything else today. You know, when the paddy wagon comes along, takes the good girls downtown along with the bad. But we hear more and more stories from around the world about governments realizing they need nuclear power as a backup to green energy because, you know, the sun doesn't shine at night. So I think we're going to see more nuclear power, more demand, and things could get quite bullish. The question is when. We own a couple uranium stocks. I'm not rushing out to buy more. I'm not hitting the table, buy, buy, buy. When this thing moves, it's probably going to move fast, so you want to be in it to win it. And I can think of a great argument long-term. It's a long argument, so I'm not going to give you the whole thing here. But, I mean, basically, prices have been cheap for so long that it's not worth anyone's while to actually make a new uranium mine. When the demand comes back into the market, there isn't a lot of surplus around that's going to get eaten up, and it's going to be a long time to bring new mines online. We can get a lot more from places like Kazakhstan, but, you know, we can and we can't. It all depends on how much they're drawn into the conflict with Ukraine and stuff. There are also some risks as well. We know the Russians have put explosives in that big nuclear power plant that they took over in Ukraine. For heaven's sake, I hope they don't blow it up. I mean, it wouldn't be world-ending or anything like that, but it would really hurt sentiment in the industry. So there are pluses and minuses, but it's definitely an industry that I want to be in because not only do I think it's part of the energy solution, I think it's a good investment. I really do. And that's a longer-term investment. Right now, everybody's really betting on tech, really betting on AI. We're making a lot of money in it. You know, it's a good way to go right now. But longer term, you know, uranium is really going to do well.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No, it's a hazy, lazy day of summer. Stay inside, stay cool, stay hydrated, and we'll get through this period. Maybe not till August, you know, but I don't expect a lot of action either. Watch everything either go straight up or straight down after I say that, right? It's not like I have a crystal ball, but I'm expecting a slow, lazy summer. The economy in the U.S. seems to be slowly improving. Things are getting better. A lot depends on what the Fed says, and since we aren't mind readers, we don't know what they're going to do. So we'll have to wait and see what happens at the next meeting. That'll give us more clarity.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our popular YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.